Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.
Now, African Airlines, I read, are on the move, and literally passenger traffic on the continent rising just under 10% in May this year, with a staggering 16% growth on routes between Africa and Asia. That is making it the world's fastest growing international corridor. Well, let's explore this in a little more detail. I'm in conversation with Lyndon Burns from Plain Talking, PR advisors to the International Air Transport Association. Let's discuss these numbers and what they mean for African aviation and, I guess, regional connectivity. So Africa, Asia, Lyndon, and welcome to you, leading global growth this month. What's driving the surge in demand?
Hi, Jeremy, and to everyone who's listening. I think the primary thing there is it's reflecting the global uncertainties that are coming out of the evolving trade policies and international relations from the US. And we're seeing a revival in activity in Asia, and both in terms of passenger movement, but also we're seeing some movement there in trade as well. You know, Asia obviously looking to fill the vacuum and take advantage of opportunities that are opening up. You know, as much as the Africa-Asia corridor is propelling demand for passenger traffic, Europe-Asia is suddenly rocketing ahead in terms of the cargo market. So I think that's really what it's about. It's reflecting the global uncertainties, the situation in the Middle East, the situation with America. You know, and even there, we look at North America, they're seeing a big decline. It's a massive market. It's the world's biggest market. They're seeing a decline in intra-North America traffic, traffic between Canada and the U.S. having, frankly, you know, the bottom falling out of that market, all to do with the politics.
So African carriers, if I've read these numbers correctly, have achieved just under a 75% load factor in May. It's better than last year, but Lyndon, still behind the global average. So what is still holding us back?
Yeah, I think two things. You know, African airlines represent about just over 2% of the total global market. So the growth we're seeing obviously is off a low base. There are hindrances here. Air travel is not as affordable as it should be. You know, the price of jet fuel, number one, you know, it's the most expensive place in the world for buying jet fuel. So that pushes up costs. Jet fuel accounts for over 25% of an airline's unit costs in Africa. And then we've got all the other user charges that are applied, whether it's from the airports or the air navigation service providers, all of the other players that come into it. You know, and I think we spoke about this before, Africa is one of the most expensive places in the world in which to run and operate an airline. And airlines pass a lot of those costs down to their customers, whether they are passengers or shippers of e-commerce goods, for example, or other items.
So, Lyndon, if African airlines are growing demand perhaps faster than capacity, does this place any risk for service quality and maybe more importantly, the price of an actual ticket?
That's a fascinating question. I think, first of all, the growth obviously, you know, is reflecting economic activity within the continent. I think what we've got to make sure is that the infrastructure service providers are providing fair value and affordable services that will allow airlines to lower their costs or pass on those savings anyway. A lot of this is also, you know, if we look at more macro issues, when we talk about, you know, trade policy and intra-Africa relations, the African Continental Free Trade Area, it's about unblocking and removing the obstacles to those. The same with open skies and the free movement of persons. We're not seeing that at the level it should be and the level that was always envisaged with these programs for various reasons. And I think that's always going to be a headache. And until we get those situations addressed, we're not going to see the cost of air travel come down significantly to the point where we grow our market share. You know, we'd all like to have a bigger piece of the cake in Africa. 2%, when we represent almost a quarter of the global population, to only be representing 2% of the global passenger or cargo market tells us there's a huge imbalance there.
Let's talk about that slice of the cake then. What does all of this mean for regional hubs? So obviously Johannesburg, but there are other big hubs like Addis and Nairobi, yeah. I think. Are they in a position now to start boasting about becoming a true continental gateway, or is that too optimistic?
I think definitely Addis Ababa and Nairobi hot in its heels. And I think we've got to be looking at Kigali with the new airport that's being developed there, funded by the Qataris. And I think, you know, Johannesburg's got to sit back and reevaluate and reassess its position. Yes, it's the gateway to South Africa and it's the gateway to Gauteng. Is it the gateway to the region? No, not anymore. That horse bolted a long time ago. I think the moment we started seeing the Gulf carriers and the likes of Turkish and Ethiopian starting to fly to directly to places like Lusaka, like Kigali, like Entebbe, Dar es Salaam, Windhoek even, that was when we could see that, you know, Johannesburg, AXA needed to change their approach and their business model. We're seeing it with places like Cape Town with the Cape Town Air Access Program, which harnesses WestGrow, which is the Western Cape Trade Industry and Investment and Tourism Promotion Agency, together with private sector industry, as well as AXA, coming to the party to find novel ways to promote connectivity and drive more traffic into the region. But we're not seeing it being replicated to the same sort of success at places like Johannesburg. Mm-hmm. I think there's still this attitude of we've built it, therefore you will come. And that, unfortunately, is reflected in our new draft civil aviation policy for the country, which doesn't actually augur well. That's saying, you know, we want to discourage foreign airlines from flying to other parts of our country and have them route to Johannesburg. I don't know if that's about protecting SAA, which isn't doing much long-haul flying, you know, or if it's some other rather myopic agenda. But we need to be far more competitive and dynamic in terms of how we position and promote an airport like O.R. Tambo International.
So what can airline executives and O.R. Tambo itself do, or have we missed the boat?
No, I don't think I think there's still plenty of room to recover and to rebuild. I think it's going to be interesting. We'll hear what the Transport Minister says tomorrow in her budget vote, hoping for an update there on things like the infrastructure plan for O.R. Tambo. I'm a little bit disconcerted. AXA last week saying they're launching a big CapEx plan, but frankly, it was no different to the one they announced in March 2024 and the one that they were meant to have gone ahead with before COVID. So I think, you know, we've got to grow the cargo side of the business and really put in world-class facilities there and processes and systems. We need SARS to get on board and start digitalizing in the same way that Home Affairs are with digital identities. And we need these airports to be, efficient. We don't need monuments to vanity. We just need good, clean, efficient, well-run airports that are, you know, where you can go get from curbside to airside in 15 minutes. And likewise, where your goods are being processed quickly and smoothly and back into the market.
Yeah, nice if a couple of the escalators worked as well. Lyndon Burns, thank you very much indeed from Plain Talking. I do appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.